Hey, everyone. Welcome to this week's show. I am Lisa Anderson. I'm excited to bring you this week's show because it's talking a lot about new beginnings. Although for our inbox, we're actually going to talk about money. I guess that's appropriate for the new year as well. Candace Waters is actually going to be here to answer a question from a guy who's concerned that his girlfriend makes more money than he does. So listen in for that. Then for our culture segment, we have Al and Lisa Robertson of Duck Dynasty fame to talk about their book, A New Season, and really share their story of the ups and downs of their own, not only upbringing, but their marriage and moving forward in that through everything from betrayal to frustration to just a lot of bumps that they hit in the road and how they overcame them with the Lord's help. Well, here we are for our roundtable. And actually, this time around, we're going to air a classic roundtable, which is appropriate for this new year because it's talking about females and the future. So this is one that if you hadn't caught it already, you want to catch this time around, and hopefully it will encourage you. So here you go. This time we're talking about life transitions, planning for your future when really, let's be honest, can we really plan for it or can we really control it? Nope. For further information on this, I want to allude to the fact that Carolyn McCulley, whom we love, wrote an article for us this week that you can find on the site called Planning for the Future Without Knowing the Future. Hello. Very descriptive. And so we're going to talk about some of those themes with three wonderful ladies who are here in the studio with me, Erin, Sarah Beth, and Karen. Hey, ladies.
Hey. Hey, Lisa.
Great to have you. Everyone here is going through some kind of different transition or is in a space where recognizing future transitions, you know, or hope. Maybe hoping for future transitions. Well, we're getting personal. It could be of the essence. And so so we're going to talk about that a little bit and just talk about what it looks like. We're talking to women in particular on this topic, I think. But guys, it's valuable for you to listen in because you're very affected by our choices. Okay. So I want to just throw it out there. We're talking about what it looks like. The first thing I want to ask is, say, let's go maybe 10 years ago, 5 to 10 years ago, depending on your age. Some of us can go further. let's talk about if you were to say you were planning for your future, what did you have envisioned for your future? What would that look like if you were kind of crafting your little 5 to 10 year plan at that point? And of course, then I'm going to ask the follow up question of, has any of that worked out the way you thought it would? But yeah. What did that vision initially look like for you?
For me, 5 years ago, I was convinced I'd be moving out to Washington, D.C. The next year, I was just about to graduate college and that I would get a job as an admin or a press secretary and work my way up to become a comm director for a member of Congress. And I went out to D.C. that summer to work on Capitol Hill and then made some great connections, made some great friends I'm still in contact with, but graduated college and moved to Colorado. And about 6 months later, got a job. 8 months later, got a job here at Focus.
Okay. So obviously some career aspirations there that had been born how many years prior? How long did you want to get into politics?
Oh, since I was five.
Okay. So those are deep-seated for sure.
Very, yeah.
And I would go back even further than 5 years. I'd probably go back 10 years to when I was just thinking about graduating college. I never considered that anything else would happen other than meeting the guy I was supposed to marry in college, getting married, and starting a family. And I was prepared for that, had thought that would be the case my entire life. And to answer the question that you're already going to ask later, that did not happen for me. So I was prepared for something that has yet to happen.
Now, were you in positions in college to, like, meet guys? Like, did you go to a Christian school or were you in campus groups or whatever?
Yeah, I did go to a Christian school and it was a very small school.
Okay.
So, which on one hand was very good. On the other hand, you know, the pool's a lot smaller. And I had been dating someone my sophomore year of college and thought that that could be a potential and then didn't work out. And, you know, you hear girls talking about getting their MRS degree, and I just assumed that that would be me. Yeah, and I was very involved, was in athletics and in campus ministries and involved in church and feeling like I was doing all the right things, but
Yeah.
For whatever reason, it didn't work out that way.
Now, so obviously you were in college. You were getting a degree. Did you have a vocational backup plan, or did you have to kind of scramble and be like, I need to do something with my life, I guess?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I did get my 4-year bachelor's degree. So, and I was planning to do that all along, have my degree in business. But honestly, I didn't think I would use it. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of one of the reasons I think I didn't do graduate school as well, is because I thought, why would I spend the money and the time to get a graduate degree when really all I want to do is be a mom and a wife? Mm-hmm. And I don't regret that decision. I felt like I was done with school after 4 years. So that is not a regret of mine, but that was a thought in the back of my head.
Yeah, I felt I was done after about 6 months, but I did, stick it out. So, yeah, awesome. But what about you, Karen?
10 years ago, I would say I didn't plan on taking as long as I did to go through college. I took the 7-year route. I think I would have thought I'd be done, probably married, maybe have kids. But 5 years ago, I'll be married. It'll be 5 years that I've been married in June. And kind of on a different scale, I'm in a way where I think I would have hoped that I would be. I have a great job that I love, but we wanted to wait about 5 years into our marriage before we tried to have kids, and the Lord has blessed us with our first. I'm facing that in 2 months. So in a funny way, it has turned out the way I think I would have hoped.
Okay. But what about walking through those kinds of transitions? Because Sarah Beth, you are now in a transition, very recently engaged. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, in 2 weeks I got engaged, celebrated a birthday, bought a house, and accepted a new job. And then I move on Sunday. So. Yeah.
And that move and that job is not in Washington, D.C. either.
No, it's in Pocatello, Idaho.
Okay, so there's some transition there and some differing expectations from what you thought. So now is Idaho because your fiancé kind of interrupted your plans? I mean, obviously what's the Idaho connection?
He is a professor of marketing research and worked 10 years on his 3 degrees to be able to accept a job. Doing what he loves. And I have not had a career per se. I've just had jobs I've enjoyed with people I've enjoyed. And so I'm in a place to be able to lift up and move and be a bit of a nomad, which growing up in an Air Force family is kind of what I know. There's kind of that 3 or 4 year itch of, okay, what's next? I feel ready for the next adventure. So in that case, I think it's very natural to be moving to Idaho, and the job opportunity is great. It uses my undergrad education, and I'm going to be able to pursue a master's degree in what I love for only $5 a credit hour, which will be fantastic and save us some money. And yeah, I don't think of it as interrupting plans. I think it's a different plan. I'll still be getting to do comm director type things, though in a different world and capacity.
Okay. Karen, I'd be interested in you speaking into that, having been through the transition of marriage already. And I know a lot of people say, marriage is a game changer, but then kids is really a game changer. I mean, there's a lot of your freedoms you can still keep as a married couple, you know, especially double income. But what would you say to Sarah Beth as far as any expectations she should have about, transition in that sense?
Oof. The merging of two lives into one is a joyful and sometimes chaotic process. So I guess I would say expect the joy of having that companionship, that camaraderie, that co-adventurer with you as you start new things. And then expect there to be differences of opinion about how you handle new things, and you'll be navigating new territory. But think of it like an adventure.
Always.
Yeah. And what, Karen, what advice have you received so far? Because tell us a little bit about, you're not just having a baby, you're actually going through a number of different transitions. So tell us a little bit about how you're even facing that.
Oh, sometimes I feel like I'm facing it well, and sometimes I feel like I'm not. I am facing coming to the end of my job as I know it, and that I will not be coming back full time. I just said that on the radio. And we'll be
committed.
Yeah. Very sad for us.
Yeah. I have the privilege of staying home and stepping into motherhood full time. Mm. I am having a baby, obviously. My twin sister and her husband are moving into my basement a month before the baby is born. And so...
And their two cats.
And their two cats.
Added yeah. to your two cats.
Yes. Yeah, so there will be five people and four cats in our house.
You might need to get a fifth cat to even it out.
Yes.
So really, you are going to have a full-time job.
I will have a full-time job.
Just won't be
job,
here
yeah.
at Focus on the Family.
I think a lot about there's this new normal that I'm facing, and I know it's coming, but in so many ways... I don't really know how to prepare for it. Mm-hmm. What I've done to try to prepare is ask people, what do you see that I need for baby supplies? Or I was actually having a conversation with one of my best friends, and we got pretty candid, and I asked her, what are things that you see maybe that I don't? Because I recognize there is so much coming my way that I don't even know how to begin to process it all. And so as an outside perspective, but one who knows me very intimately, like, can you speak into my life and speak into these areas that mm-hmm. I don't see? Mm-hmm. So
yeah. Okay, so I want to ratchet it back a little bit to Aaron and to myself a little bit, because we're in the same boat. Mm-hmm. being single. How, and you two ladies speak into this too, because you were, you know, everyone is single for a season, okay? So what you guys had to deal with. I think one of the questions that our audience would ask us, Erin, especially the women in it, are how, if you hope for marriage and you feel like it still should or hopefully is part of your story and part of your future, how do you live right now knowing that you have mm-hmm. many things that you have to be independent in mm-hmm. and how, while still not taking on, I think single women walk this balance of, mm-hmm. I don't want to be identified as this lifetime single lady that's so content in my singleness yep. that I never want to change my status. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there are very real things that you just have to buck up and do and be, you know?
Yeah,
so
that's true.
Kind of that yeah. wrestling with, this is who I am right now. It's not the status I hope to have for the rest of my life. But mm-hmm. how have you kind of walked that line a little bit?
Well, I think I've done it better and worse in different seasons. Mm-hmm. So I've been in Colorado about 5 years now. And prior to that, was in Ohio and Nebraska and lots of different other places. And I think prior to moving here, I was less hesitant to put down roots. Hmm. And that was partly because, A, I hadn't really found the place where I wanted to settle down. And B, like you said, I didn't want to be seen as too independent.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then at some point, you just realize... that's a terrible way to live your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I moved here, it wasn't right away, but I eventually bought a house.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that was scary because what if some guy comes along and sees that I have a house and is intimidated by that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But again, at some point you're like, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
If he's intimidated by that, he's probably not the kind of guy that I want to be with anyways.
<He's a loser>.
I agree. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it's really just a process of learning and understanding and trusting that God can work through whatever situation you're in, whether you have mm-hmm. a house or not, whether you have lived in the same place for 7 years or 2 years or a month or whatever it is,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
just trusting that it doesn't matter and you just need to live your life and not always be worried and just be content. And I know mm-hmm. we talk about that all the time, just mm-hmm. being content, but it really is
mm-hmm.
so important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what would you ladies say, you know, each from your own perspectives, is that balance of planning for your future but still holding everything with an open hand? Like, what does that practically mm-hmm. look like for you? Because we could all sit down in junior high and craft what our ideal existences would look like, but the fact is, it doesn't always pan out, okay? So so what does that look like? I mean, why even plan then? Why even have hopes and dreams for the future? Why even, you know, establish any kind of vision mm-hmm. for where you're going? What does it look like to walk kind of that balance?
Because my plans kind of definitely didn't work out the way that I thought they would have 5 years ago, I took a while for me to be comfortable in trusting that there was something better out there since all of that was closed door after closed door. And about the point last year in March, April, so 5 years, 4 years after graduation, I finally felt comfortable in where I was in my life and what assets I had to my name and the friends that I had and the church community that I had and my relationship with my family. And I just reached this point of peace about where my life was. And right about that time is when William and I started talking. And so I think that it was something better in waiting, but it took me being comfortable with who I was and not what the world defined me as to be open to that better plan.
Oof. I think it's so important to be surrounded by people, be surrounded by community, people you trust and love. Like I was saying earlier, friends who will speak into maybe those blind areas, but maybe when you don't have the gumption or confidence to put hope, that they remind you that God is faithful. They remind you of truth and help you see things the way you can't inside your own mind. That's not very practical.
No, it's good.
I think for me it is hard because I find myself as being more type A. I like the schedule. I like routine. And then to not be able to plan in such a way, whereas I know exactly what's coming because I don't have any idea what's coming. And quite honestly, sometimes looking too far ahead into the future can be a little bit depressing because I don't have the things that I thought I would have at this stage in my life. And thinking about the future and still not having those things can be really hard. And so I think for me, practically, I literally just have to remind myself today, just live today.
That's good.
Because it's all we're guaranteed. We're not even guaranteed today. But looking too far into the future and not seeing the things that I want to see can be really hard. So just trusting that God has what he has for my future. Trying to believe and hope and trust that he knows what's best. And that what he has for me right now is what's best.
Right. I think that's good. And then not, like you said, Erin, not living only for the future, but recognizing that there's a lot of good right here and now as well. I like where Carolyn says in her article, future success is often determined by your ability to think in multiple outcomes about your future. As you launch your career in those first few exhilarating years after school, you need to stretch your imagination to think about how the choices you're making now will look if you end up with family responsibilities, if you remain single and childless, or if you end up disabled or chronically ill. You know, there are many different outcomes. And of course, as a 20 something, no one's like saying, you know, my future is probably going to involve disability and chronic illness.
Very true.
I didn't think mine would either. But at 29, I got a rheumatoid arthritis diagnosis. And all of a sudden, I'm talking to old people because they relate to me. and it's interesting because I think we look, but the thing that I've so held on to is to always take that opportunity, to not be afraid to take that risk, because it's not, most often, it's not going to kill you. I mean, it's it's going to open a door, maybe another door will shut, but for the most part, we're all walking, you know, some kind of road, and nothing super weird or crazy is going to happen. But to do those things, like, you know, to buy a home if it's available to you, and to do, you know, I've thought of that in terms of investing too. For me to invest some money does not mean I don't trust God. It doesn't mean that I'm just like fearful of the future or whatever. It means that I may be actually freed up to give more in the future or to do, to have opportunities to bless other people. And that's a good outcome of that. You know, we're only stewards, or we're only called to be stewards with what we actually have, not with what we don't have.
Right.
You know?
I started thinking about the distinction between planning and preparing, and I nerded out a little bit, but I looked it up on in the dictionary. And plan essentially is a method for achieving an end, or planning for something you intend to happen, versus preparing is to make ready and to have a proper state of mind. So it seems like it's that tension of both planning and preparing and having your hands open for whatever the outcome is.
Well, good thoughts, ladies. Thanks so much for weighing in on this. And of course, to remember to always be prayerful too, as we look to the future, because we do not know what the future holds, but at least the Lord does, and we know him. So I mean, what we can always do is abide in the vine and rest in what God has for us, because he knows. So thanks much, ladies.
Thanks, Lisa.